The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the Father, while the disciples overheard him, I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words you gave me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one, as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name, that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they may also may be sanctified in truth. And while that's the end of the reading appointed for the day, I want to go two more verses because it includes us. Jesus said, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I invite the young people to come forward for a children's message. Just Clara, no Calvin today, huh? Okay. So if I were to ask you, to whom do you belong? What would you say? To whom do you belong? Any ideas? Well, I think the first place of belonging that we have is in a family. And usually, if children are asked, to whom do you belong, the first answer might be to my mom and dad, huh? I belong to my mom and dad. And especially today, as Mother's Day, it's important with that relationship with mothers, huh? Some years ago, I asked the catechism group, who taught you the Lord's Prayer? And that particular year, the unanimous answer was, my mother, huh? So we belong in families, first of all, when we're young, huh? Clara knows she belongs in a family, huh? And I'll bet your brother knows he belongs in a family in some sense, too, that it's belonging in a family. And as we grow older, we start understanding belonging to a larger and larger part of the world. But the important thing I want you to remember today is that we belong to Jesus. When we are baptized, we are claimed by God, and we belonged to Jesus. And that's a relationship of love forever. Amen. You can return to your seats. So, to whom do you belong? That's a question we ask when at the headquarters tent at the Harlan Days Festival. This was a community festival in the last place that I served, and there was like carnival games and rides and a craft show and softball and basketball tournament. There were all kinds of activities that happened in the community, and the sole purpose was to raise funds for the local community park. And it was the kind of place where parents could send their elementary age children off with some other elementary age kid, and they were perfectly safe in doing this. And so it was somewhat frequent that parents and children would get disconnected, and we would have some child come to the headquarters tent and say, can you tell my parents to meet me? And we would, even if we knew who the kid's parents were, we would usually ask, to whom do you belong? And the reunion that happened usually resulted in the child asking parents for more money. So you see, belonging has some benefits to it. To whom do you belong? Well, you heard the children's message. We belong to Christ, of course. When we are baptized, we are joined to Jesus, joined to his death and resurrection, joined to his life, and all the blessings, the benefits that that has accomplished for us on our behalf. Over the last three Sundays, we've heard this conversation that Jesus has been having with his disciples, and it's his last night with them before he is crucified. And so we have heard Jesus say, abide in me, abide in my love. And then today we hear, it's a conversation that the disciples also overhear between Jesus and the Father, and Jesus says, Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. The privilege of belonging requested by Jesus is protection from the evil one. And the place of danger is the world. The world is the place where the evil one has power. And it is blind to that presence of the evil one. But the disciples know the truth, and that truth has set them free. They are no longer bound to the evil one, but now they belong to God and God's goodness and mercy. The protection that Jesus asked for is the protection of the word. He says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. To be sanctified is to be set apart from the world in Christ. To be sanctified means to abide in Christ, to trust Christ's word, and to hold on to that word in faith. Oneness is found in listening to that word, which is truth. Since our oneness is found in the Word of God, why is there so much division because of it? That division is clearly evident all around us, for there are people gathered this day in other churches: Roman Catholic, Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Evangelical, Reformed, Christian Church Disciples, Christian Church Instrumental, Christian Church Non-Instrumental Church of Christ. The list goes on and on. Why is there such disagreement over the word? One of the things that drew my attention last year as we celebrated the 500th anniversary of the Reformation is how those reformers existed, and they all had a concern about listening to the Word of God, about reading the Bible, and lots of good things happened with that. But as they read the Bible, it was like they were reading a totally different book from each other. They heard and saw different things. And in fact, it is kind of an embarrassment that one of the things that the Reformation meant was it was a reason to kill your neighbor because of their faith. And we have to be honest about that. That's where the Reformation led for many people. And probably the worst war that Europe has seen, the greatest devastation, was the 30 Years' War. That was largely a religious war. Even now, in this time, there is concern about protecting our theological boundaries. More than one person, including myself, has raised the issue about the Right Now media that we've made available to you, the 18,000 resources that are available in that. If you read their kind of statement of faith and their understanding of the Bible, it isn't exactly what might fit with ours. And I asked them about that first thing right off the bat, and they had an answer for me like that. They said, well, you can take anything off of your website that you object to. Now, what's amazing is that seemed to be a part of their plan. They responded immediately, knowing that as Christians studied the Bible, as Christians talked about things of faith, there were going to be things that we disagreed about, and things that we disagreed about vehemently. So they already had this plan. If anything you object to won't be on your website for you. Now, there needs to be some confession among us, and I will be the first to admit to this. I have worshiped in places all over the world. I have worshiped in different denominations throughout the world. And I will say to you that the particular theological proclamation of the Lutheran Church is where I feel most at home. I have a sense of belonging here. And I have a sense that there is something that feeds me that is different than other churches. So here's that fundamental confession. With all of the division, with all that goes on with that, I kind of like it that way. Huh? I kind of like it that way. There are things that speak to me in that. So how can we faithfully respond to Jesus' words as people who are drawn into the kingdom of God today? Well, I have four things, so stay awake for the fourth one, okay? The first one is we can give up our desire to kill our neighbor over the faith. Now, that may seem okay, huh? Maybe you weren't planning on killing your neighbor. You know it's against the law. But I think it means a little more than that. It means we can give up our sense of rivalry with our neighbor who may have a different faith. We can stop trying to compete with them. And so we give that up, and in its place, we honor and respect faith wherever we might find it. Number two, we practice the faith every day. That key part of the practice that Jesus speaks about that brings oneness is listening to the Word of God. And so every day we can listen to that Word of God. And every day we can practice loving and serving God and neighbor. Instead of competing, instead of being rivals, we love and serve God and neighbor. The third one is we can use language that reflects our oneness rather than our division. This congregation has been doing this for quite some time, but may not realize it's been doing that. Every Sunday in the Lord's Prayer, we use particular words. And the words we use are the only words of the Lord's Prayer in English that have been approved by Catholics, Protestants, and what we would call evangelicals. Every other form of the Lord's Prayer is a sectarian form. That is, it is one that is used in particular denominations. And every denomination has its own wording. Wouldn't it be nice if we could agree on one common Lord's Prayer? Another way that is problematic to me that we use language is people will say, I was baptized Lutheran. Well, if you were baptized in the name of Martin Luther, we have some work because you haven't been connected to Christ. A better way to say that is, I was baptized into Christ in a Lutheran church. I was baptized into Christ. Lift up that oneness that we have with others. I was baptized into Christ in a Lutheran church or whatever it may have been. And the third thing I would like to say about the language we use, sometimes when people ask you, well, what church do you belong to or what denomination are you? I would suggest instead of saying the denomination or even the church to say, I'm a follower of Jesus and I worship with the congregation of our Savior or whatever that may be. I'm a follower of Jesus. We lift up in our language that which is our oneness with others. And the fourth one, if you're still awake, the fourth point is we can learn anew to find our unity grounded in the historic creeds of the church, the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed. Whenever you go on a church's website, they always have something that says, what do we believe? And they can be all over the place. But the core of the Christian faith is found in those creeds. And they are like the skeleton of our bodies. We all have the basic same skeletal structure, yet we all look a little different. We have that foundational thing, but God's gifts have made us then differently. And so I think that's a helpful way for us, referring to those creeds as the very skeletal structures that form our unity in Christ. Now, having said that, I'm going to ask you to change the creed today. Now, before you start gathering the wood pile and the stake for the burning of that, let me tell you that I have checked it out with the one in this room that, as far as I know, has been more recently to seminary. And he is giving me the affirmation that this is a heresy he can live with for one day. So here's the change I'm going to ask you to do today. I wanted you to take that word believe in the creed and change it to belong. So we'll say in that creed, we believe in one God. We belong in one God, the Father. We belong in one Lord, Jesus Christ. We belong to the Holy Spirit. And I would ask you to take that with you this week and in your own meditations, think about how that one word changes the way you understand the creeds and understand our oneness. To whom do we belong? We belong to God, and through God we belong to each other. This oneness is a gift of God, and this makes Christ's joy complete. Amen.